Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Thanks for listening to Morning Edition this morning on WYLL AM 580 and FM 90.9, HD2 and HD3. It's time now for the pre-opening commodity market reports, and here's Dave Dickey. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Jay, and good Tuesday morning, everyone. The Wall Street Journal today is reporting that Goldman Sachs is likely to report a net loss of as much as $2 billion for its quarter ending November 28th. The loss, equal to about $5 a share, would be more than five times as steep as the current analyst consensus for the Wall Street firm, as it faces write-downs on everything from private equity to commercial real estate. Meanwhile, Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke yesterday said further interest rate cuts are, quote, certainly feasible. But he warned there are limits to how much such action would revive an economy likely to stay weak well into next year. Bernanke also said that the Fed's powers don't end with the federal funds rate and its ability to inject liquidity into markets through its balance sheets, quote, remains effective. The Dow Jones Industrial Average of 8,187 is up 38 points. The NASDAQ 1405 up 7.43. And the S&P 500 is at 822, and it's up 6.5 points.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
Joining us now with a look at today's agricultural weather is AM 580 Chief Meteorologist Ed Kieser. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Dave. Some transportation problems across the Midwest over the last 24 hours due to light snow and black ice. So things moving slow, but we'll have some melting today and things will move more quickly here as we go through the day today. Snow cover, not very thick in many areas, but enough that fields are not accessible over much of the Midwest Corn Belt at this time. Most of Illinois and Indiana with a snow cover, except some areas in the far south. There are some areas lacking snow cover in the northwestern quarter of Iowa, but eastern Iowa covered with snow, a little bit still in southwestern Iowa. Much of the Dakotas still with a light snow cover as well. So snow does cover most of the Midwest Corn Belt. So field work, late season field work, minimal, but a little bit possible in northwest Iowa and southwest Minnesota. Some places there are lacking a snow cover at this time. In the Great Plains hard red winter wheat belt, most areas are snow free. Just some of the northern and eastern fringe production areas in Nebraska and the northeastern fringe production areas of Kansas with a little bit of snow cover. Also a few pockets in western or southwestern portions of the production areas in Colorado, which of course is in eastern Colorado, east of the Front Range. But by and large, snow does not cover the wheat areas right now. We do have a variety of weather coming through. It's going to be most of the time unseasonably cool here over the next 10 days across the Midwest Corn Belt. We do have a frontal system that will come through tomorrow, and it will produce mostly rain, but on the backside there will be some snow, and some of the snow could pile up to a couple of inches tomorrow late afternoon and evening, especially in southeast Iowa, northeast Missouri, northern half of Illinois, southern Wisconsin, far northern Indiana, and much of lower Michigan. So those areas could pick up a new coating of snow of mainly 2 to 3 inches, I think, after it rains a little bit. And then that will be followed by cold air once again. And it appears that next week we could start to see the subtropical jet stream, the southern branch of the jet stream, getting a little more active. And that could bring some weather systems our way next week. And as far as exactly what will happen, time will tell. It looks like, of course, the typical scenario with wherever a low-pressure system goes. To the southeast of the low center, it's rain. To the northwest, it's snow. So we'll be looking at low systems and their exact track and strength next week. But it does look like a little more precipitation could be heading into the Midwest next week. By and large, temperatures will be on the cool side of average, but with some of those systems, some of the southern and eastern portions of the Midwest could briefly warm up. As we go to South America, well, there's a lot of question marks down there right now. Some rain, beneficial rain, fell in Argentina over the weekend. We talked about that yesterday. Now the question is, are they going to go dry again, or will they get some more rain? And there's a difference of opinion with some of the computer model guidance we look at. And of course, computer models don't really provide opinions. They just provide output based on numerical solutions. And the farther out you go, the less accurate a computer model is. But I can tell you during the last 24 hours, dry weather did prevail over Argentina. And it appears that more dry weather is expected today and tomorrow. And it is going to be turning warmer as we go through the weekend and next week. Temperatures are going to be back in the 90s in many areas over the Argentinian bean belt, and some low 100s are possible in western sections. Now, a big question mark is, will there be any rain? The next chance of rain for Argentina will come Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, and it looks like the northern portions of Argentina have a better chance of rain than the southern portion. So Cordoba, Santiago del Estero, Chaco, Entre Rios, Santa Fe have a good chance of rain. La Pampa and Buenos Aires will likely stay dry. Some models keep all of Argentina dry. Other models indicate there might be rain, so that's a big question mark. As we go into southern Brazil, they are now dry, and concerns are they will stay dry for a while. Meanwhile, northern production areas of Brazil may start to turn a bit drier, but there's still moisture coming on a frequent enough basis that's good for crops from Mato Grosso on over into Minas Gerais, Goiás, and Bahia. That's a look at the growing areas. I'm meteorologist Ed Keezer.
Join us this evening for another one of our free AM 580 Agricultural Outlook panels. We'll be at the Perfection Coffee House in Gibson City, a dinner at 6, a meeting beginning around 7:15 to 7:30. Panelists for tonight's meeting include Mike Zuzulo of Risk Management Commodities, Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities, and Mike Georgie of Allendale Incorporated. That's at the Perfection Coffee House in Gibson City, with the Outlook meeting beginning about 7:15. We hope to see you there. Let's check how prices fared in the overnight trade. In Kansas City, December wheat opened at 5.38 1/4, up 2.5. Last trade up 1 1/4. At the Chicago Board of Trade, December wheat opened at 5.08, down 1 3/4. Last trade up 4. December corn opened at 3.30 1/4, down 0.5. Last trade up 1/4. July 3.69 1/2, down 1 1/4. Last trade unchanged. January beans 8.41 3/4, down 4 1/4. Last trade up 3.5. July 8.70 1/4, down 2 1/4. Last trade up 5. December soybean meal opened at 251.90, down 40. Last trade down 130. December soybean oil opened at 31, down 11. Last trade up 8. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning, Dave.
So we were talking to your compatriot and fellow worker, Kurt Kimmel, yesterday, and he surprised me a little bit. First to say on the air that a two-handle is possible in corn.
I would agree with that. If we do what crude oil did, we'd be back to about 263 area.
So are you looking at a timing thing now? I suppose that now that we have the possibility of that seriously in play, we have to look at the potential timing of it. Do you have any sense of what that might be?
I think you'd have to have it before spring, just because of usage worries and worries about the economy. Now that we are technically in a recession, we thought we've been in one a long time, but yesterday they announced it's really we're in one. I think it'd have to be in the next 2 to 3 months. due to that and worries about the world being in recession. So I think that's where it would be. And then we would, how long is this recession going to last? There's people saying we'll start getting out of it by next fall. But I would think it'd be in the next 2 to 3 months.
No, a lot of people thinking it might be a kind of a 16-month recession. And so was yesterday's news good or bad? You were a year into it. I guess that's good. 6 months to go, that's bad.
Right. And whatever we got to go is bad. And what if it lasts clear through 2009? Who's got money to spend? What are they going to spend it on? Is corn and beans going to be what it is? And what's the usage going to be in ethanol? That's a big factor in corn is, are we going to have 40 plants closed down by mid-January, as some industry people think? If that happens, we could have another $1.3 billion added to our carryout.
Let's go ahead and then get your calls.
Calls this morning are soybeans 3 to 5 higher, corn unchanged up 2, wheat up 2 to up 6, and over in the livestock, we're mixed to steady.
All right, Pete, you have a grand day today. Pete Manhart, he's with Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. He joins us every Tuesday morning on the pre-opening Commodity Market Report. We have a listener comment line. Give us a call at 217-333-0853. Tell us how we're doing. You're listening to WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM, HD2 and HD3 Urbana. It's 9:01 Central Time.